What's up, shorties? It's your host, Olivia Maiden, and welcome back to another Short Stories podcast. We're on the 14th episode of the second season. We've had, like, almost, if you think about it, I had one season. The first one, it was, like, 10 or 15 or so episodes, and then I have, like, 13 or something here. And so, like, guys, it's probably almost been around 30 or 40 episodes. Like, that's crazy. And thank you guys who actually listen. It's actually really nice to know that people actually listen to the stories. And I noticed that nobody likes to DM me about pictures or any stories is what I meant, or anything. So if you could DM me on Instagram, just make up a story, or you could honestly just tell me your story. It will be anonymous if you want me to do that. Or you can... that's at the Short Stories, at Short Stories Podcast on Instagram. And, oh, also my dog is being really annoying. You guys, if you were at my house right now, sorry, that was a weird laugh. If you were at my house right now, you'd see my dog. Have you ever seen a dog just rolling around on the grass and then they make, like, that weird sound? Well, that's what my dog's doing. You could probably hear him. And, yeah. Just needed to mention that if you hear any weird sounds. Because I'm recording outside. It's a beautiful day. It's like 90 degrees is the high today here in Oregon. It's Wednesday. Oh, my goodness. You know, Ranger, you're crazy. Come here. Come here. You're crazy. He is crazy dog, guys. And I don't know why I wanted to tell you guys that. But he is a crazy dog. He actually just turned, like, 6. I already told you guys that, like, May 18th. And now it's June. That's so crazy, guys. Okay. So, yeah, go DM me on Instagram at Short Stories Podcast. If you have any story ideas, or in the comments, just give me a theme. Because I would like to know more ideas, even though I just happened to come up with a lot on my own. Based on my daily life and everything. Also, you can email me at osubeavergirl21@gmail.com, all lowercase. So, also, 18 days till summer if you're listening today on Wednesday. Sorry, didn't come out yesterday, but hey, at least it's coming out the day right after. And 18 days, if you're listening to this after Wednesday, it's going to be a lot less days for you. I mean, unless you're listening it Thursday or whatever. And... guys, let me know, what are your favorite summer, like, treats? Or, I just want to know, like, is it s'mores? Is it ice cream? What are your favorite places to go in the summer? Guys, comment on my post, if you were listening to this, comment what your favorite treat is or place to go in the summer is. That'd be great for me to know. I just like to get to know you guys. Okay, so... getting into this, we're gonna start out with a Story Corps podcast, listening to that, and then we're gonna be I have this article that I found on this lady that was arrested after being told repeatedly to stop camping at a local park. Like, why would you keep camping? And then I'm gonna talk about my camping trip that I had on Memorial Day weekend, because that's what got me into this whole camping theme. Honestly, if I had to say. So let's get into it. It's called, so the Story Corps, so sometimes I don't know what to find on there. So I just, to be honest, so I searched like camping, nothing camping came up, but at least we had something that had to do with a guy that was, I think this is like during the Holocaust or something, maybe not. But Eric Lament and his mother lived as Jewish refugees in Italy during World War II. When the war ended, an Italian court declared his father legally dead shortly after they got a postcard from him letting them know that he was alive and in a displaced persons camp in Austria. Eric remembers the changed man he reunited with. Like, that's crazy, thinking somebody was dead, but... this lady, it says, we got a postcard that my father was alive. That'd just be crazy, guys. Okay, let's listen on in. Let's see.
in 1946, an Italian court declared him legally dead. My mother, she met another man and started a new relationship, and shortly thereafter.
Wait a sec. If the mom, like, if she was married to that guy, then, and she remarried, oh my goodness, this reminds me of Castaway. I haven't seen the full movie, but I remember at the end, the guy finds out that his wife remarried because she thought that he was dead. So that'd be so sad.
We got a postcard that my father was alive, and he was in a displaced person camp in Austria. I was going to college in a town near Florence, and my father came to visit me in that town. And I was very excited. I mean, I was 16 years old at the time. I had not seen my dad in 8 years.
Oh, that'd be so amazing.
I waited at the railroad station for quite a bit of time. I got there a little bit early. And my father was a very dapper man. He always dressed in a double-breasted suit. His hair was perfectly combed.
That'd be so nice knowing, like, hey, if I see him again, this is exactly what he's going to look like. I wonder if he changed.
He always had a kerchief in his jacket. But when the train came, I saw all these people get off, and there was nobody there that even resembled my dad.
Wait, what if his dad just, like, changed his whole person because he was at that camp, right? What if he looked, like, totally different or something?
Eventually, somebody called out my name. He was the only one on the platform at that time. It was a broken man walking with a limp and a cane, certainly not well-dressed. He was wearing a suit that probably was 2 or 3 sizes larger than he was. I was emotionally totally destroyed when I saw my dad.
That'd be so sad, seeing your parent, like, for example, like, yeah, like, I'd be seeing that my dad and or all my parents, like, dress really nice and stuff at times, right? And then seeing them in, like, 8 years and seeing that they look, like, sick and everything, like, that'd be so sad. I just...
For 2 hours, we spoke on a bench on the railroad station. And I remember that he said to me, how were you and how are you? And the only other question that I remember was, he said to me, and how do you like this Italian gentleman?
Ooh, wait. Because the dad's probably jealous now. Because found out about his wife's new husband because she thought he was dead. That'd be so sad.
I don't remember anything else that we talked about. He eventually decided to emigrate to Palestine. And I did not see my dad for 28 years.
That's even longer than an 8-year-old. I mean, in 8 years, I mean, like, if you were, for example, like, that'd be just crazy not seeing your parents. I mean, some people, like, if your parents die, then you won't see them, like, again unless you go to heaven, you know, right? But it's like this guy didn't see his dad for 28 years. That's, like, not even how long I've lived. That's crazy.
One day, when I spoke to his wife, she said to me that he was very sick and he was in a hospital. And next day, I was on a plane. My father did not know that I was coming because I didn't tell anybody I was going. But as I entered the door of the hospital room, he was the only one there. He recognized me immediately and called out my name.
Oh, that's so sweet. Like, a dad being like, hey, you're, like, I know who you are. And that'd be kind of nice instead of him being like, who are you if he was sick or something. I mean, he is sick, probably about to die on his deathbed.
But as I entered the door of the hospital room, he was the only one there. He recognized me immediately.
Oh, yeah. We already got this part.
He called out my name.
That was it? I thought there'd be more of this emotional story. I for some reason thought it just like ended on me. I get, wow. I mean, it said something about Jewish refugees, but then it said this guy went to Palestine, which I don't agree with. Like, you know, they're like free Palestine, but really it's the Jews. Like, you know what I mean? If you guys come from my perspective, like the Jewish, you know, with the, I don't know if it's still going, but in Hamas, they were firing rockets at the Jews. But if the Jews didn't stop firing rockets back at them, they would have been, like, dead or whatever. Okay. That was just somebody on Eric Lament. This was kind of a sad story. It totally reminds me of Castaway. Let's move on to this lady that was arrested after being told to, like, stay away from her local campground. Okay, and also this story is our crime time, and today, even though it may not seem like such a brutal crime, it actually is because this lady gets arrested at some point, and after she keeps coming to the park. And we're actually going to listen to a video instead of a reading the whole thing. We can look at parts, but here's just the video.
Setting up homeless camps on public property, outside businesses, and on sidewalks. But one woman with a history of refusing to leave a city park and who was approached by APD twice in 1 week was actually arrested yesterday. Here's News 13's Jackie Kent with details from Albuquerque Police. Jackie.
Police say an arrest of this type.
I think Albuquerque, oh, that's New Mexico. So that's far away.
Much like a citation is uncommon. The city's Family and Community Services Department and community organizations will first work to get people in need connected with behavioral health services or shelter.
The two staff within Family and Community Services, who really are the lead folks in the community for responding to encampments on public property, will coordinate with APD as needed. So that is definitely not their first step to bring in APD.
So this all has to do with, like, a homeless person wanting to come to a campground? I didn't know that was actually illegal. Like, if I was homeless, I'd probably go rent space at the local campground. I mean, I wouldn't see that as bad and guess that she was pretty disturbing or something.
Online court records from March 9th show Louisa Scott was summoned for wrongful use of public property after being asked to leave Phil Chacon Park. An officer writes that she was warned twice in February, along with a few other people, to not set up structures to camp or have fires.
Wait a sec. It was at a local park. I got this whole thing mixed up, guys. It wasn't a campground. It was like a park, like a playground park, you know, for kids. This lady kept camping there. That's actually creepy now that I think about it. Like, you don't know what somebody's gonna do if they're living there, like, because kids come to a local park all the time, right?
Officers gave Scott a summons when they noticed that her so-called structure was back up after a city crew removed what was left of the camps, stating enforcement action was required. Then yesterday morning, she was arrested for wrongful use of public property and for erecting a structure on park property, which was three shopping carts surrounding a three-person-sized tent.
Okay, yeah, you shouldn't be stealing shopping carts. I don't get why people steal shopping carts. Like, I thought that it was Walmart or somewhere where they actually have, like, some tracker thing on the Walmart carts or something. Is that just me, or I thought... Or a beeping system so that the carts don't go out. I don't know if I'm right or wrong about that, but I thought that was what was going on for Walmart.
It's unclear how often these types of arrests are happening.
I mean, we'd rather not, but our officers would rather be out patrolling and kind of dealing with the more significant crimes, but it is also a quality of life issue.
Or others who were summoned with Scott have not been arrested. APD spokesperson Gilbert Gallego says they complied with officers and took down their camps. He thinks the Gateway Center homeless shelter that Mayor Tim Keller is proposing at the Old Gibson Medical Center will be a long-term solution for getting people connected with housing and services in one place. Right now, a city councilor wants to give the community more time to weigh in on putting that shelter in the International District. Back to you.
Oh my goodness, guys. I mean... I do think, like, if you're homeless, you should actually, you know, go to a homeless shelter. You shouldn't just be camping in a children's park. Now I see what a crime that was. Okay. So basically, the lady was refusing to leave an encampment at a city park and was approached by the police in Albuquerque, like, twice, and then she was arrested. Twice in 1 week, actually. Arrested on a Tuesday. And it's actually an uncommon arrest type, is what the police said, much like a citation for setting up homeless camps on property. So I guess it's an uncommon crime. I could see at the end of the video they were like, yeah, we don't want to deal with this because we want to go do more, like, bigger crimes handling with that instead of just handling with a homeless shelter, or a homeless lady. And, yeah, so I just definitely, yeah, we need to, like, watch out. I'm glad that the police actually, like, took care of that. But, so, moving on. This is our last section today. I'm going to be talking about my camping trip. So, on Memorial Day weekend, we actually left on Friday and came back Monday because it was my sister's birthday. She turned 14 on Monday, which is crazy because she's going to be in high school next year. And it's just so crazy, guys. Okay, and then, honestly, I felt like such a kid because we were playing games with our family friends. So we, like, met at, if you have ever been to Oregon and you've been to the Dalles, pretty dry out there. We went there with our friends and it was our family. And I think one of them had to leave early, but then it was just us and this one friend group that we had there the whole time with us. But it was, like, such a kiddie feeling where they would be like, want to play Ghosts in the Graveyard or Sardines. It's like we played them. Actually, though, at night, it was, like, pretty interesting. It kind of scared me at night because at one point my, well, we did play Ghosts in the Graveyard pretty kiddish, right? And we did find our siblings, but it was just kind of scary at night. Because it was a campground and, like, pretty quiet, except for we were the loud people, you could say, and not a good thing. Anyways, so the first night, I actually, so after we did our Bible study and prayer, right, we were going to bed, and I could not find my sister, a different sister, not gonna say names, though, I couldn't find my sister. And we thought, oh, maybe she went to the bathroom. My sister and I, we were like, hey, maybe our sister went to the bathroom. Like, has anybody seen her? Has anybody seen my sister? And we actually couldn't find her for a little while. But she was, and then we found her. We thought maybe somebody took her, like, kidnapped her or something, which is really scared me. And we actually found her in the hammock that our friends brought. And she was like, it was just so scary, you know? I watched, like, these crime shows, and to think that that could be a reality because they're so realistic, like, I just don't want that to happen to my family or anything. Anyways, after that, we, we went fishing over the weekend, bass fishing. I think the last day that we went fishing, I think we caught some bass, a walleye, and I don't know, starts with a C, but yeah, caught like four different types of fish, but we had like a contest for the, like the longest, you know, biggest fish caught, got $20 for 2 days in a row, first day in a row, somebody won, and then the second won $20. The guy that was offering to pay $20 the second day won his own money. So it was like he didn't really get that much of a benefit out of it, right? We also went swimming, but the water was cold, and even though it was like super hot, right, this over the weekend, it was hot where I was, but when we went in the water, it was like cold. And oh yeah, so there were these like orange buoy thingies that was like closing off so that boats couldn't come into this one. It looked kind of like a bay area, really small though, and with this like rope attached to the orange buoy things, and it had like seaweed and gross stuff growing on it, same with the rope. And I remember we swam out there a few or so times. It was like basically like you could say the deep end besides the whole river, and it was just so gross swimming because there was seaweed. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but like seaweed for people that I know, they're like, oh, like I hate seaweed or whatever. And for me, I honestly like don't think it's like terrible. It's just kind of like fishy when you put your feet on the ground and there's seaweed. It's just soft though. I kind of like it, but not when I'm swimming and I felt seaweed. It's like you don't know what's below you. Like I've seen too many shark movies to know what's going on under me. Like is there a shark under me, even though we're in the water, not even close to the ocean, even though that it was right next to a river that connects to the ocean, but really far, far away from the ocean, really far away. So I just, it's nice to know what's going on under me. It'd be kind of cool if I could see what was going on. Oh yeah, one more thing about my trip. At the very end, okay, we have way too much junk food over the weekend, but I guess that's how camping trips go, right? And so on the way back, we went with our friends to a McDonald's in the Dalles, and it said, like, masks required, and it was all this whole fit, you know? Like, you can't go anywhere with masks now. So ridiculous, so stupid. Like, so we went in. My brother didn't have a mask, so he didn't go in at first, but then I guess they found one and joined us later. So we went to this McDonald's that connected inside to, like, a mini mart with Cinnabon, and, we went in there, and I just saw, like, our friends not wearing masks, and, like, people there not wearing masks, and the people working there at McDonald's, too, had, like, some of them had, like, masks, you know, below their nose, like, just covering their mouth, you know, like, you would do if you're in a store and you don't like wearing masks. But it's, like, so then I just took my mask off, and it's, like, they didn't even ask you if you were vaccinated, and so we, like, ordered with my mask down, and they didn't even care. I thought it was awesome, but it might just be because the Dalles is kind of, like, in a desert area. It's, like, it's not very populated, and that makes sense. If we were in, like, Portland or something, they'd be like, get your mask on, unless you have a vaccination card or whatever. Okay, that's enough of me talking. I want you guys to tell me some stories that you would like me to share. I can tell anonymously, even if you care about that. And next week, we will be talking about, I know that some people are like, oh, it's Pride Month, which I don't celebrate, if you didn't know that. Sorry to offend you, but it's the truth. And we're going to talk about what the rainbow really means. What does it mean, like, for reals? Not what happened before, you know, like, that rainbow flag hasn't been around for that long. But what does the real rainbow mean? Is it talking about God's promise? Is it talking about, like, rights or something? Well, you'll find out next week what the rainbow really means. Thank you guys for listening, shorties. Thank you so much. Adios.